Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning. This is Doug Field, the CEO of the Institute for Healthcare Consumerism, and welcome to this week's edition of Healthcare Consumerism Radio. And joining me on the program this morning is Jonathan Field, a radio producer. Hey, Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning.
And my co-host, Ron Bachman. Ron, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great from a little bit of rainy Destin, Florida this morning.
coming to us from the harbor in Destin. Good to have you here. We got a rainy day in Atlanta, too, here today. We got a good jam-packed program today. So, we're going to, after we kind of talk about some of the goings on here at the Institute in this first 10 minutes, we're going to bring in our first guest, Ray Colon, with mytelemedicine.com, really talking about the evolving telehealth market, the value prop for brokers, the value prop for employers and employees and providers. That'll be an interesting discussion with Ray. He's got an interesting background. Then we're going to bring on Jonathan Rendy with Castlight Health. Castlight Health was one of the, big first players in the whole transparency healthcare access space. And it'll be interesting to talk to Jonathan, who's Chief Development and Research Officer, about, what Castlight sees as evolving to true healthcare consumerism, with good transparency solutions. And then our final guest is really our partner on an upcoming webinar, May 3rd. It'll be Megan Urbaniak with the 8 Centive, and we're going to be really diving deep into the content for our May 3rd webinar on digital revolution, how brokers can really exploit their digital business. And this is the second in a series. It's not really a two-part. Each one can stand on their own, but it'll be an interesting discussion with Megan. We look forward to that. As I said, they're our partner. But Jonathan and Ron, we're coming down the stretch here. We're, 35 days, Jonathan, about? Maybe a little bit more. From IHC Forum and Expo, our big event, May 24th and 26th, coming up in Atlanta. And Ron, I know you're pretty excited about our opening general session and the group that we're working with, Atlanta Wellness Professionals. You want to talk to our audience a little bit about, what we're doing here in Atlanta?
Sure. No, I think it's going to be a great conference. I am excited about the conference coming up. I mean, the program and the materials that you prepared for everybody is just outstanding. It's going to be the best I think we've ever had. I mean, the pre-conference programs themselves, you've got four different pre-conference programs, a pre-conference lunch and learn, which is always very popular. And throughout the program, we've mentioned before here, but I think it's worth mentioning again, that we have up to 40 of the largest employers in Atlanta, their wellness professionals coming to the meeting to sort of feed that well-being, wellness message throughout. There's so much happening in that area. It's been around for a long time. We talked about wellness. We talked about disease management for years. But in the wellness space, is getting so much emphasis and support from the C-suite and the CEO and the CFO for its value that it's providing improved employee relations, more productivity, more enjoyment on the job, which produces a lot of good results for any kind of an organization. It's morphing into something we're now calling well-being instead of just wellness. And well-being is about the whole person, in my mind. It's about their financial security. It's about their safety. It's about their activities at home that you can help them with. All sorts of issues surround the whole well-being. So I think we're going to get a lot of new ideas and new information from these 40 experts in the Atlanta working for all sorts of companies from Chick-fil-A to Delta Airlines to Newell Rubbermaid and a bunch of others. So anybody who's interested in this space, anybody who's doing something and says, what's next? What do I do next? What have others been trying that might work in my organization? This is the meeting to come to. It's going to be a very exciting meeting with a lot of great people, a lot of good connections, a lot of energy that we always have, but I think it's going to be the best we've ever done.
Yeah, and you kind of touched on it, but one update our audience. We're very excited about prior to the opening keynote and just after the pre-cons. We've partnered with Oliver Wyman, the Ultram Institute, and Robert Woods Johnson to really put together a lunch and learn based upon some current research they're doing. So any of our attendees, I mean, this is a free lunch and learn that you'll be able to come and attend prior to the opening keynote, and it's going to focus on health information conundrum for vulnerable populations. I mean, they are busy at work researching and exploring the health information needs of consumers, especially, you know, the vulnerable populations, Ron, which you care a lot about, uninsured, particularly the uninsured right. out there, you know, Medicaid, non-English speaking, and caregivers, and how the market could better serve them. So they're going to share some initial findings with us. You know, they're going to share our, you know, some initial findings, you know, with us, and then we're going to continue this dialogue with them beyond the lunch and learn and kind of get that out to our members on this research and stuff that they're doing. I think also, you know, our, you know, kind of our mainstays when in our general sessions for this event, you know, we'll have Jody Deedle kind of moderating and speaking to, but hosting John Hickman with Austin Bird, and who does probably the best job in 30 minutes of giving a drill down on the latest compliance and concerns. And then he'll be joined by Kevin McKechnie with the ABHSA Council. And, you know, Kevin's a really good policy, you know, giving a, you know, good policy update on the policy around, you know, this healthcare market, specifically HSAs, but not just limited to HSAs. And then what I think works very well with John Hickman is that he follows with a pure Q&A workshop that any of our attendees who want to, you know, be a little more one-on-one with John in that workshop environment can really get some of the key questions asked. And that's pretty valuable stuff from probably, Ron, wouldn't you agree, one of the leaders as far as, you know, understanding compliance, right?
It's worth the price of admission just to come and get information from John is what I've always said. And, you know, for people who have come to the IHC conferences before, they may hear some of these same names that have been presented in the past. And those people who have come before, heard those names, know how valuable it is. And it's not going to the same old stuff. These people are sort of like the faculty of the university, if you will, that come, stay updated. They're on the leading edge. I mean, John is in Washington. He can tell us the latest and greatest. He's working with HHS and Department of Labor on new compliance and regulations. So you're going to hear the newest, latest, and greatest from these folks because they are on the front lines. And IHC has developed this partnership over the years with these industry leaders, these people in the know, the frontline people who can bring the message of what's current to the population. So they really have been very generous with their time, and they're very valuable. They're sought after. Not just the speakers, because they really don't go around and do necessarily a lot of speaking, because they've got real jobs working this marketplace and the regulations on things that are happening. So they're very much desired by any organization, and we've been fortunate to have and call them friends for many years now. They really do a terrific job, and it's well worth coming to listen to these folks.
It is, and you know, we all talk in this marketplace about how millennials will change healthcare, and, you know, change really benefits, and so we decided to really focus on that, and we're, you know, our opening general session on Wednesday morning at 9:15. Jonathan's going to focus on, you know, millennials and bringing together some real key thought leaders. You know, that we actually have one that is a millennial, right?
That's right. We have a young guy, Phyllis Towers Watson, who's going to provide his perspective on, you know, what he sees from, you know, both his peer group and their opinions on employee benefits issues and, you know, also his perspective as a professional at a large brokerage firm.
Yeah. Willis Towers. And the session is going to be led by Joni Brainer, who's probably one of the most progressive advisors in the market. She's now with, you know, Willis Towers. And then we'll have, you know, Eric Bricker with Compass, who's chief medical officer with Compass. And then Vinay Gannaway with Maxwell Health. And,
right, it's Vinay Gidwani.
Yeah, Gidwani.
Maxwell.
Yeah, and, you know, they obviously have a real, you know, perspective on consumers and, you know, millennials, because they've really developed their exchange and marketplace from a consumer perspective. Then we'll...
You know, the millennials really make a difference in the marketplace. You know, we used to talk about the baby boomers and how they were changing the market as they went through from, you know, the building of high schools to accommodate them to colleges to jobs and everything else. Millennials are doing the same thing, and they have a very different view. For those of us who are older, sometimes we don't always understand them, but I think our parents didn't understand us either when we were going through those. But millennials are changing, and I think it benefits people, whether you're into wellness or disease management or overall benefit design or other services that you provide. You really need to be have a better understanding of where the millennial mindset is, because it is very different. They're coming to the workplace with different expectations, different goals and objectives. And I think it's great that we're going to have a specific session on millennials so people can start to listen and understand more about what their needs and interests are. I think it's going to be a very beneficial part of the whole program.
Yeah, I do too. And then we've got, we rolled it out in Baltimore. We'll close that second day with rapid-fire presentations from up to 10 leading innovators, really doing a 3 to 5 minute really elevator pitch on their vision and the pain point and opportunity there. Solutions has provided, and a real opportunity for our attendees to really sit and learn and then have the ability to go talk to them, in the innovation showcase. Kind of closing on the final day will be our opening general session with some of the exchange leaders from not only leading exchanges, but leading consultant firm, Pacific Resources, PwC, Maestro, and we'll be adding a fourth on that. And then kind of our mainstay and kind of what it's really all about when you look at the employer perspective, we'll close with our leading employer panel, led by Margaret at Midwest Business Group on Health. She's put together really four quality leading employers. So, and then we're surrounded with, our workshops are there too, the Innovation Showcase. So, we've got early bird here until the end of the month, next week. You can find out more of the details at our website, www.thehiccforum.com. And again, the early bird rate ends on April 30th. And, we'll talk during the next break about our second half events. But right now, I want to bring on our first guest for today, Ray Colon with mytelemedicine.com. Ray, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How you doing, sir?
We're doing great. Great to have you with us. Appreciate you spending time with us today.
Great. Great to be on.
How's it in Dallas, Texas today?
Oh, man. Lucky for us, the rain has stopped, and we got some beautiful sunshine out, so I'm really excited.
Yeah, well, we're your sister city, so we're getting the rain you had yesterday over here in Atlanta. Well, Ray, listen, a lot happening in telehealth, and you've got a pretty deep background in this. Before we kind of kick off really talking about more, give our audience and our listeners a real backgrounder on mytelemedicine.com and your background too and your vision for what you're doing now with mytelemedicine.com.
Excellent. Well, my background originally started out in the digital healthcare space, in the digital marketing space. And back in 2008, a couple of buddies of mine, and we saw what was going on in the healthcare arena. We saw technology being kind of the forefront and something that was exciting and coming up over the coming years. And we started a company called Access MyMD. After securing some funding, we rebranded as Ameridoc. And we moved operations to wonderful state of Texas. And Ameridoc, after nearly 3 or 4 years, Ameridoc was acquired by a larger group in the space. And I just saw some exciting opportunities still going on within the telemedicine market. Even though for guys in the healthcare space, providers and employers, it's been around and it is a buzzword that's been going around for, the past 3 to 4 years, to the consumer end, it's still very young. It's still in its embryonic stage. I believe that digital healthcare across the board is growing rapidly. And when the thought process of bringing a new company into the market was birthed, we knew that we didn't just want to be another Me Too that was out there. So what we focused on here at My Telemedicine was really our technology. That was the core. Before our first line of code was written by our partner and chief technology officer, Jesse Roach, before anything was done on that end, we knew that there was a play not only on the service model to bring this to employers and affinity groups out there, but we knew that providers were going to adopt it. It was just a matter of time before state regulatory laws made it more friendly, and we wanted to be in that space leveraging our technology. So we went out after about a little over a year of development. We launched with our MVP, and we're growing rapidly. So we have a service model where we have physicians all over the U.S. in every state, minus Arkansas due to regulations in Arkansas. We're able to service consumers by providing them access to a physician 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And these doctors are able to provide them advice and recommendations for common acute illnesses. In addition, they're also able to diagnose them for these common acute illnesses and call in a prescription to their local pharmacy. So that's really the service model side of it. But what we've done is, as we start to see the market grow and digital healthcare, especially with wellness in the workplace, grow, we saw an opportunity of creating our platform to where it can be fully integratable. So we built a full open API around our technology that allows any third-party company, whether they're a wellness platform, an electronic medical record, or just a savvy entrepreneur that wants to build a mobile app, they can integrate into our technology, their look, their feel, desktop, mobile, and now they're able to offer telemedicine, however, utilizing the My Telemedicine engine and physician network on the back end. So it's been an exciting run, and we're really excited to keep on moving forward and grow with the space.
So can you embrace, do you work with brokers too, Ray?
Absolutely, yes. Brokers are a really key part of our business.
Okay.
You know, at the end of the day, with employers, really with anybody, it's about relationship, you know. And we might go to a large organization, and they might love telemedicine, but at the end of the day, they have a broker. That's their voice. That's the person that they trust. So we build relationships with brokers all over the U.S., TPAs, agents, agencies, and even individuals, and they're now able to take our product under their own brand if they like, or promote My Telemedicine and now offer it to their clients.
So you can either do a private label. If it's a large enough broker, you can do a private label model for them, or they can market your MyTelemedicine.com, either version, right? That's what you're communicating?
Correct, yes. Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things, when we started building, we really took the feedback from all the relationships that I had in the space. So a lot of our resellers and partners that we worked with, they said, man, the only thing is we're losing deals because when we go out and promote, hey, we're reselling XYZ company, you know, they now just go direct. So we gave them a solution that allows them to white brand it, white label it, all under their own look, feel. My telemedicine's never in the mix, and now they're able to go out and sell their product using our engine. So it's been a great, exciting tool, definitely a differentiator and a disruptor in the space, and we're excited to see where it goes.
You know, a lot of the research, Ray, out there really talks about the tremendous adoption and uptick from employers. And, I look at that and have my perspective, but I'd love to get yours on the embracing of employers to telehealth and where do you see that trend continuing?
Absolutely. You know, the market is growing rapidly across the board, but employers every day, especially large self-funded groups, they are looking for any opportunity to really move the needle in claims costs and savings. Telemedicine is a true tool that allows their members to avoid going to costly emergency rooms or urgent care clinics or even taking time off from work to now have to go to a doctor because they are or their children are running a high fever, where telemedicine actually gives them access to this and there's a significant savings. Shroom recently did a study and said that over 68% of self-funded groups plan on adopting telemedicine between 2016 and 2017. So the market's really prime. I think what's happened is that over the years, we've really built a solid business case. At first, when we were doing this back in 2009, 2010, there was a lot of confusion. Could it be done? How's the savings? Is it even legal? There was all these concerns. But over the year, as the industry has matured, employers now see this as a true value. The key thing is engagement. It's really creating engagement and educating the market, whether it's the employer or the consumer, on the value of this benefit, on how it complements their current benefits that they might have with their company, and educating them on how and when to use it. What we've seen is when a member does use it, they're hooked. It's the aha moment for them. Wow, I was able to pick up the phone, connect with a doctor, and, you know, my child is feeling better. And then they're a believer and they constantly use. So our focus, leveraging technology, is to create engagement tools that will educate the consumer and educate the employer on how to reach out to their population on the value of telemedicine, hence all driving savings.
Yep. Ron, do you got a question for Ray?
Yeah, Ray, this is Ron Bachman. On your website, there is a great quote of information from the Wellness Councils of America that says, research shows that 70% of doctor's office visits are unnecessary, and over a third of all minor medical conditions can be treated without a trip to the doctor's office at all. Some have said that the future doctor's office is actually going to be your living room. How does your services help support that? And maybe you can describe briefly the different types of services, from electronic medical records, a lab test, to wellness testing, advocacy, phone consultations. I think a lot of people think that the everything's just about phone or video consultations, but you seem to have a broader package.
Correct, yes. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, the first thing is telemedicine is not here to replace your primary care physician. We're here to give you access when you need it conveniently and affordably, especially when it's after hours. However, there are more than just picking up the phone and talking to a doctor. Our members have the ability for continuity of care. After a consultation has been done, they can log into their personal health portal. They're able to not only manage their personal health records and share these health records with their primary care physician, but if they have a question regarding a consultation that they've had previously with a physician, and let's say it's a week later and they just had a question, hey, I've noticed this, they can just send a message back to that physician, and now they're able to have this ongoing interaction regarding previous consultations. In addition, as the market continues to grow, there are many opportunities to leverage other solutions. One of the things that we've recently done is we formed a relationship with a wearable integrator, and every wearable device that's out there, whether it's a Fitbit, but more importantly, your healthcare-related medical devices that are Bluetooth and Wi-Fi enabled, our system has the capability of pulling in real-time data on those consumers and then in turn creating actionable outcomes. So what we want to do is create a package that really brings value, not only the aspect of, hey, I need to talk to a doctor, but when you think of advocacy, we partnered with a great company, they have a national advocacy network. So there are times when a consumer just has a question, and they're not sure if this is a medical question. Maybe they need a referral, and they're not sure where to go. And most consumers kind of leverage Google, and they go online, and they read all this stuff. So our solution, when you incorporate other aspects of healthcare, like even an advocacy program coupled with telemedicine, this consumer now has access to physicians for that real-time care access, but at the same time has a tool to educate them and kind of be a liaison to navigate through the cumbersome healthcare system that we have today. So it's really important to add added value solutions to complement telemedicine and bring out a well-rounded healthcare solution to employers and their employees.
Hey, Ray, this is Doug. When looking at your model for employers, if I'm an employer with 5,000 employees, what's your business model for me and then my employees? Are the employees paying a per-use fee? Are the employers paying any per, you know, monthly fee? You know, per employee, per month fee, how does that work, please?
Very good question, Doug. So really, our goal is focused around and tailored to the employer. So the first thing, whenever an employer reaches out to us, we really want to sit down and get in the think tank, get in the whiteboard and kind of say, what's your goals? What's your objectives? And based on those objectives, we can create a plan because we are the provider. It's our physician network. It's our technology. It's our 24/7 call center. So we create a customized program for them. Now, in most cases, most of the consumers, most of the employers, because telemedicine is still so young to the consumer's eyes, they want to incentivize the member to try it. So what we typically do is most of the programs are no cost to the employee. The employer pays a per member per month fee to give their employees access to the service and to our physicians. And then in return, we educate those members as to how to use it and when to use it, utilizing digital and traditional marketing methods. And now their members have it. Now, there are cases when, you know, based on a group's budget, that a group says, hey, you know what, we need, we want to give access, but the member can pay a consultation fee. And that consultation fee typically is right around $35. And then also we have like a hybrid model. So, you know, maybe a group says, hey, we want to have a consult fee of only $10. So, again, being the provider, the back engine, and the network, we can really create a program that's tailored specifically to the group's goals and objectives when they come aboard.
So coming upstream to a broker network that you embrace, so can a broker enhance their revenue model with your solution? Are there
absolutely? I mean, it's a great. Go ahead.
No, are there commissions here for the broker?
Absolutely. So we have two kind of models. We have a traditional broker model where they take, you know, the My Telemedicine brand. They're taking our product portfolio and they're promoting it to their clients. And then, of course, there's a commission avenue for them. And this really helps them subsidize with everything going on with the Affordable Care Act. Brokers are really looking for additional ways to drive revenue, with the average commission on healthcare insurance being down to 6 or 7%. Most of these insurance companies are now selling directly to the consumer and not giving exclusivity to their brokers. So we do have a broker program where they do get a commission. And then for larger groups that do more volume, we have a reseller program where we can provide them with a wholesale, you can essentially say a wholesale rate, a net rate, and then they can go out and they can mark it up and then take it to their clients as they see appropriate and based on their needs. You know, so we do have and provide really good tools for those brokers and resellers, so that way they're also educated as to the value of it, and then they can relay that same message to their clients.
You know, we got about a minute or two ready to go, so I want to ask you about one other market, and then I want to allow you an opportunity to kind of, you know, leave our audience with a few takeaways. And you were with us, and I know you came, some of your team, and attended in Dallas. You know, with your private label model, you're a pretty good fit for some of these emerging exchanges. Are you see that as a good distribution avenue for you?
Absolutely. You know, the exchanges are always looking for ways to, especially with all the excitement around the exchange system. You know, when we went to the conference, there were multiple providers there. So what's the differentiator? And we are now embedding our solutions into them. We're coupling them with the health plans. So it's definitely a market that we've been researching, talking to a lot of exchanges now. And most definitely, we see telemedicine being a great complement and fit to these exchanges, and giving them just another avenue of a benefit that's really going to bring value, coupled with their insurance package that they select.
Yeah, and that fits well with your. I could see you really helping some of the exchanges too with your digital experience and background, because that's where they're focused too. And I think that, you know, you're integrating that piece, but then how you really help them market it and, you know, make it happen. Well, we got about a minute to go, and I'd like to. It's been great having you on the program. You know, it's an exciting topic. It's a growing topic, as you said, growing trend. It has its place in this market, providing better care and access to care. Leave our audience with a few takeaways, if you would, Ray.
You know, again, you know, our goal here is we're a young company, and you know, one of the things that we've really seen in this space is at the end of the day, it's about the end user, the employer, and the market, and the employees. And what we really want to do is bring a true value service. We don't want to commoditize it. We don't want to discount its value. If promoted right, it can truly bring value. So what I want to leave with is just that when a group or an employer is out there researching, you know, really factor in the costs associated with it, because it's about engagement. And the more engagement utilization you have, the more savings you're going to have. In addition, we're really focused on the service side. Members can pick up the phone, talk to a care coordinator 24 hours a day, ask questions. They can just update their medical records right online. If anybody wants to learn more about My Telemedicine or to speak with us here, or even myself, they can always visit www.mytelemedicine.com, or they can just give us a call at 1-800-611-5601, and a member of our team would be gladly here to answer any of their questions.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Ray, and I appreciate you joining us and spending time with us. Have a great weekend there in the Dallas area, and we'll talk again soon.
Great, Doug. Look forward to it. You guys have a great day.
Thanks.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Ron, good stuff.
Yeah, it is. You know, this whole telemedicine area is exciting as it's developing. I'm not sure everybody even knows or understands, or if there's a clear distinction between telemedicine, telehealth, mHealth. The language is even evolving in there. But I think it's all about, as Ray was saying, the integration of the products and services. But I think he also highlighted a real challenge for any company in this area, especially new ones, and that's what's the distribution network. How do you sell and market and spread the word about what you're doing? Is it through exchanges, as your last discussion was talking about the value to exchanges? Is it through brokers? Is it through insurance companies? Is it through other solution providers that you can partner up with, have strategic relationships with? So I think Ray sounds like he's trying all of the above and is reaching out with a very important service. So I think this is a great area that I know will be a lot of focus on our conference coming up here in May in Atlanta, and has been a part of our presentations in the past, and will be a very important part of the future as well.
Well, Ron, we've got and to our guest out there joining us today, we've Jonathan Rendy with Castlight had a personal emergency come up, and he's not going to be able to join us today. So, you know, we'll have him on sometime in the near term again. And Castlight, you know, one of the premier leaders, one of the early leaders in as far as providing, I don't want to limit them to transparency, but they were first in that market, and they produce a really, provide a really healthy health benefits platform. So we look forward to having Jonathan, you know, on the program sometime in the future. Well, Ron, let's go back and talk about Atlanta a little bit while we're waiting on Megan to join us with 8 Cent, even talking about the upcoming webinar. And you talk a little bit about, we've got growing interest in the marketplace. You've done a great job. Don Cooper's working with you as a kind of an associate instructor with our healthcare consumerism certification program. And you're also going to do an advanced healthcare consumers workshop. Talk about your certification program and why somebody should want to come and sit in that seat and listen to you for 4 hours. That's a challenge, by the way. And then your advanced program.
It's a challenge for both sides. I guess one of the compliments, though, is that people who sit through the program say the time goes by so fast they don't realize it's actually 4 hours. We do take breaks in between occasionally, but it really
that's because
is.
You're listening to an actuary, tell jokes.
There you go. I always have my grab bag of jokes and little stories to tell in the background of all sorts of things happening. But the conference, I think, will allow us also to begin to highlight a little bit more. I know it's been mentioned in the past, but we really started to put some meat on the bones of IHC University. I don't know if we're going to be ready to fully launch IHC University website that you've asked your team to help build out, and we've been putting information in, making it worthwhile, but I think it's really on the cusp of being able to do that, and hopefully we can give it a little bit of highlight. But one of the important parts of IHC University is the certification program. It's sort of like our diploma, if you will, of the information around the history of healthcare consumerism, the principles of healthcare consumerism, the strategies, the visions, the tactics, all those sorts of things we pull together in a four-hour program. We go through in enormous detail for people who are benefit managers who are looking to develop their programs out there that are going to be implementing something next year. They're always looking for what's different, what's new. So we paint a broad picture of sort of where we've been, where we are, and where we're going. And as you know, and people have been through the class, we actually go through a five-generational model that's been fairly well developed now over time as we've seen the market develop. And you can almost, if you see the overall vision that we present in that four-hour session, you begin to see where all the different vendors, whether it's the telemedicine, My Telemedicine or a Castlight or any other folks that we've had on the program over the last years, where they fit into this growing marketplace, this changing dynamic marketplace. And if you begin to understand, and people leave the pre-con session we put on with a really clear understanding of the marketplace, much better than they've ever seen before, because I'm a visual person. I like to see it in pictures, not just read a lot of words and read white papers and text, but actually see the overall vision in PowerPoint presentations we put together. And people really start to understand what it is that might be next in their program, or they might have to back up a step to really build a good foundation. Maybe they've been trying a lot of different things and they haven't really worked. We have open discussions. Somebody said, well, I've tried that and that hasn't worked. And we'll have some discussion in the class about others who have tried something similar and it made it work. And so they say, well, did you try this or did you do that? Or have you thought about this? And so we have some good open discussion as well as the overall presentation of the different models of healthcare visions, of healthcare consumerism that we put together. So it's a great program. I enjoy putting it on. I'm sort of a frustrated teacher anyway, so it gives me a chance to sort of be the professor in front of the class. The students are great. They're very attentive. They ask a lot of questions. It's interactive. We have some points where we stop and actually do some interactive worksheets and get information back from everybody. So it's a fun class. We usually have a pretty good crowd that shows up. I mean, we've had as many as 35 or 40 people just in the pre-cons, especially the Atlanta pre-con, because it's the biggest forum anyway. But then go ahead.
You know, before you go on to the advance, Ron, You know, to your point, this is a really strong, deep and wide baseline certification course that if you're an employer, there's a value prop for you to understand where you need to advance your organization. If you're a broker, it's how do you really understand how to help your clients embrace this. If you're the many innovators out there creating solutions, and particularly if you're a technology company, you got a sales team that's a bunch of technologists, this really gives you a grounded understanding of where your solution fits and how you can present it better to key and maybe jumbo employers that you're talking to, correct? So it really fits all these demographic groups, right?
It really does, and that's what comes out of the comments after the class. We ask for feedback. It's that they really get an understanding of where their current program did it fit into the marketplace and where it's developing, what to look forward to, or like I said, if you're a vendor even, where does your product, because one of the things that I always say is that many of the solution providers are sort of on the leading edge, and that's great, and that's what we like to have at the session. We always say that, these forums are, in many cases, the early adopters and the fast followers, because there's new ideas that people are starting to share and what's working, what's not. But many of the vendors themselves are out in front of the general marketplace, and that's why they come, because these are the early adopters and fast followers from the employer standpoint. But I always say that if you're a fourth or fifth generation service, that the most of the world is still in the second or third generation, you need to go back and sort of relate to what those folks are doing, so you understand who you're selling to and what problems or issues they're dealing with, so that they will then understand how your product or service fits into where they currently are, where they can plan. Is it something they really should be doing this year? Is it something that they should be planning for next year? I know everybody wants to make a sale tomorrow, but sometimes these things are a 3 to 5 year planning process. And if you can convince employers, for example, who are building their programs out, that yours is the next best step, and it fits into this model, then I think you're more likely to be successful. So it can help everybody. It's a win-win-win if you really understand the market and you've shown that you, you've been through some training. So at the end of the day, it's not just about the class, but you actually can get certified and get a degree, if you will. Our certification program gives you a CHCC, a Certified in Healthcare Consumerism. So you can take a test after the class and get that certification and get the nice recognition from IHC for it. And many people come back and take the pre-con over and over again. I've had people come to class 2, 3, and even 4 times because each time they come, they pick up something a little different. They start to understand a little bit more, and that's also very gratifying. It's not just, you know, a boring 4 hours. They actually come back for more and hear the presentations again and come back with very targeted, specific questions that we can discuss as a group as well. So it's
a lot
of
fun. You also continually update your program as well. You know, I know
we
you've
do.
Updated.
We do because it's not just an academic or think tank type of a model or discussion we have. It's very practical. It's what's going on in the marketplace with examples of what's happening out there, and again, internal discussions to the class around how they see things and how it fits in with them. So, very much so. It's always updated and it's always current.
Yep. And so talk a little bit about your advanced course, that or the workshop that you're going to do, Advanced Healthcare Consumerism Workshop. And who would be –
Yeah, that was
– Who should sit there?
Yeah, that was really popular last year. We did it in Atlanta for the first time where there was an interest of some of those folks who had been through the four-hour session or some who maybe couldn't make the four-hour session who wanted to have a one-hour workshop on some of the same topics. And we said, well, I can't really fit 4 hours of material into 1 hour, but what we can do is if you think you've got the basics or you've been through the pre-con or maybe you've gone to some of our website information where you can pick up some of the concepts of healthcare consumerism on your own, come into the advanced class that we'll have. And we really sort of start with the third generation. So we go through the third, fourth, and fifth generation models and sort of just skip over rapidly for those who maybe aren't totally familiar. I do a real quick, less than 5 minute probably description of the first and second generations. And for our audience out there, I'll just give a real thumbnail sketch so they understand when they use these terms, generation, what they are, what they mean. First generation was just about plan design. That's when the old Definity and Luminos would just go high deductible health plans and maybe an account underneath. Second generation is really about behavioral change with an account, whether it's an HRA or an HSA, with rewards and incentives that go beyond just an initial account. So it's all about behavioral change with rewards and incentives, and that's where most of the world still is today. We've sort of moved, I think, and are very much engaged in the third generation, which is around health and performance. How does health affect your productivity, your absenteeism rates, your disability rates? So how does your health affect your job and the bottom line productivity of a company, and how does a company affect your health from the things that they do and the things that they help you with? And so we're very much seeing a lot of activity in that third generation. The fourth generation is always fun because that's a personalized sort of a little bit of the future of healthcare. It's around personalized health. It's some of the things we've been talking about with wearables. It's about your own genomics. It's about all sorts of things that are very personalized to individuals. It's not population health management, but it's technology that's being used to drive down to your individual needs. And we're seeing more and more of that. The fifth generation is more around community health. How do we help each other? How do we work to deal with people's stresses in life and strains and from the job? How do we work together as a community, whether it's things called sharing circles or wise men, wise women helping out? How do we sort of give back, pay forward, those sorts of things? And quite honestly, in the session this time in Atlanta, we're going to go through all of that. But we're going to also be talking about, well, what might be a sixth generation? Because a few years ago, we had four generations, and as you said, we continuously update. Well, from the discussions and the background and the services that we saw providing, we developed the concepts of the fifth generation, the community health and support that we're seeing more and more out there. And so we're going to try to talk about maybe a little bit of what might be coming even after that. What's the next step, the sixth generation at some point? So that's a fun class, and it'll be an hour, so it's a sort of quick hit, so we don't back up and go through all the definitions and all the examples. And I get to skip all my jokes that I do in my four-hour session just to be able to get through all the materials. But it's a pretty action-packed hour, so we ask people to come in, fasten their seatbelts, and we'll get them moving on with it.
Yeah, so anyone could really join you in that workshop. If I'm somebody on the beginning journey, but I want to really look ahead and sharpen my vision on where we need to go, that's a good workshop to join, correct?
Absolutely. And I think that a lot of people, it was interesting, when we did it last year, we had a crowd of over 40 people, I think, in that workshop. So everybody thinks they're an expert in this space anyway. They probably wouldn't be coming to the conference anyway. So they all think they know things and understand. But when they see it visually through the presentations we make, and we try to connect all the dots, maybe like they've never seen before, they really have that wow moment, that aha moment. Oh, I see it now. I see what's going on. And that's very enlightening to people and very rewarding for me to try to present stuff that gets that kind of reaction. So, yeah, anybody can come in. There's not a prerequisite where if you haven't taken the pre-con, or, we don't check to see exactly what level you are. We just warn people coming in that it's not the basic basics. It's a little bit more advanced, and it's going to be more rapid moving. And people respect that, and I think they've enjoyed it anyway for those who came in at the early stages. But it can apply to anybody. It can be brokers. It can be insurance company representatives. It can be any solution providers, just like the pre-con. It's open and valuable, I think, to just about anybody who has that level of interest in consumers and to really understand it. And also, I think they begin to understand what IHC is all about, because we'll talk about the basic principles of what we think healthcare consumerism is, about the basic principles of what makes healthcare consumerism, why it's growing and expanding, and why it's more than just account-based plans. And so I think they begin to understand IHC, and I think they create these classes create a greater interest in people's participation and spreading the word on the good value from IHC. And so I think it's been a good tool in a lot of different ways for IHC, as well as, of course, all the people who attend the classes and the pre-cons.
So people can find out more about both your pre-con, this advanced course, by going to the forum website, theihccforum.com. But Ron, you alluded to it too, and we have videos up there. We have your course books up there. We have access to the test up in IHC University, correct? All that's there.
Yeah, it's all there now. Yeah, we're really building out. I mean, the IHC University is going to be a real virtual university for learning. We're actually calling it the Learning Center for Healthcare Consumers. And we have about 30 videos already posted, about 5 to 6 minute videos. So we say become a 5 minute expert. You can, at your own leisure, just listen to those courses during a break or during a lunch or at home at night or, during commercials or whatever you want to do. But you actually sit down and just pick up pieces along the way, and they're in a sequential order, hitting the main topics of the pre-con in many cases. But we also have some specialty videos up there just for brokers around ethics and moving from commissions to a consulting type of an arrangement. We've got all sorts of materials we're putting up there. We're actually building out more and more materials where a benefit manager can go and say, gee, I really want to get some information on the growth of healthcare consumerism or the growth of account-based plans, or what's the latest survey on telemedicine, or what's the latest information here or there. So we have a place that's, will be a research library. One of the more interesting things that's been successful is we actually have what we call our compliance corner. And each month we take a piece of the regulations that come out of HHS or the Department of Labor and do an executive summary of it. So we get it down to the very basics. A one-page summary is what the goal is, of just who does this regulation affect, when does it become effective, what is the real issue we're talking about, and an executive summary. And we have those for each month for like the last 2 years, I think, online now, so that people each month even can go back and see what the latest and greatest analysis is of some regulation that came out, whether it's reporting requirements to the government, whether it's about the latest one this month is about when the new rates are going to come into play, and that's going to be a hot topic in the news and has been in the news about the projection for 2017 rates. What's the time schedule? When does that have to be submitted by the insurance companies? When does it have to be approved by the state? Is HHS going to get involved? And what are the prospects and timelines on each of the rate filings? And we're hearing now in reports that rates for 2017 are likely to go up substantially. You've seen that United Healthcare has gotten out of the business because their losses have been so great. So that kind of information is very timely. It's very current, and it's very simplified. So you don't have to read through 20 pages of some legal brief or go through the Federal Register. You can get a quick overview of what that regulation is about.
Yeah. Well, Ryan, listen, I appreciate that. We're about to bring Megan on here in a little bit. Again, you can find the university at theiacc.com. And if you want to find more information on Forum and your certification programs, go to our Forum website, theiaccforum.com. And again, a reminder on a May event that our early bird rates end on April 30th. I want to bring in our final guest in the program, actually our partner on the webinar that we're producing with them on May 3rd. But joining me on the program now is Megan Urbaniak, Associate VP Business Development at HCENTE. Megan, good morning.
Good morning. I hope you can hear me okay.
I can. Nice to have you here. Appreciate you joining us.
You so much for the opportunity.
Yeah, and I've got Ron Bachman, my co-host, on here as well.
Hey, Megan, how you doing?
Hey,
Megan, before we kind of have a dialogue around this webinar and the value prop for brokers, kind of give our audience a background on yourself and HCENTE and a background on Rob and Insurance Marketing Center and really the contents of what we're going to be talking about on May 3rd.
Sure. I am I'm really happy to. So let me kind of talk about the webinar and then talk about myself and Rob as a background to it. So our upcoming webinar on May 3rd is entitled The Digital Revolution, How Brokers Can Exploit Their Digital Business. And you're going to hear from three industry experts, obviously you and myself and Rob Poli. And Rob Poli is president of the Insurance Marketing Center. I am, as you said earlier, associate vice president of business development over at HCENTE. And Rob will be speaking really directly to our audience of brokers about the way they're using a benefit marketplace to recruit new agents, streamline day-to-day workload, using systems reporting to identify sales opportunities, and really lessons learned from a very early adopter in this still ever-changing market. And then there will be a little bit of a back and forth, and really a conversation, I think, between the three of us to discuss the do's and the don'ts of digital business, what ongoing trends we've seen, and how to position ourselves for success, no matter what piece of the business you have. I am my world, frankly, just as a former broker, and I always kind of put my broker hat on when I talk about technology because I always say to my current clients and my potential clients that I wish I had this kind of platform when I was a broker, some sort of technology that helped me but also gave me a great foothold with my employer group clients in the market.
Yeah. And I think that, you said something really key that any broker listening today or even listening to the podcast, over the next week, we're not just going to be three talking heads talking. We're going to engage in a conversation that they'll be able to ask us key questions, get engaged with as well, which is a really important takeaway for any broker out there trying to figure out the pieces to this puzzle. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I think if you're a broker out there too, I mean, this is fast-moving space. But somebody said yesterday that we're still at the beginning, and I agree with that. We're still at the beginning. So if you're a broker out there and, maybe you jumped in, but maybe you're kind of rethinking, what benefit marketplace or what can technology really do for a practice. I mean, you're going to learn that. You're going to understand that. You're going to learn from an early adopter, Rob, his best and better practices, his mistakes, and what he's done to create success, which he's really created there, leveraging, the benefit marketplace and his digital business. And so, it's an opportunity to come and really listen, learn, participate, get some key questions asked. So, Megan, can you talk a little bit more about what you're going to have Rob talk about and kind of some of the key questions you're going to talk to him about?
Sure. Well, Rob and I have been partners in the D.C. metro market for, I want to say, 5 or 6 years now, not only when I was a broker, but now in this ongoing conversations about private healthcare space. And we've had Rob join us on May 3rd because he really is a leader in the broker community in this D.C. metro area. He's really been an advocate for brokers and how they conduct their business, really from everything from carrier changes to working with D.C. Health Marketplace and changes in group markets. And really, he knows as a owner of a GA that in order to keep and grow with his brokers, he needs to offer solutions that are being asked for in the market, but not only by the brokers, but also those end user clients. So he's done a lot of legwork and has a really a good insight because he has ongoing conversations with not only brokers who have large books, but small books or specialize in large business and small business. So he brings that very unique play, I think, to our conversation.
Yeah, I think some interesting insights that you'll hear Rob talk about too, saying he's been there and done that, is that employers are embracing technology, probably more so than some brokers, and that's what a broker needs to hear that too. Your clients are embracing it, and further downstream, you know, the employers, you know, employees, the consumer, and their, you know, the employee and their families are embracing technology. So, you know, that's an important takeaway that brokers need to take away. I mean, your clients and their employees are embracing the use of technology. Wouldn't you agree, Megan?
I think that is almost, if they're asking for it, maybe not even so embracing it. I think they're looking for some assistance on how to embrace it. But I believe they're asking for it. They want it. They hear all these buzzwords in the industry, especially from the employer groups. They hear these words exchange. And a small employer group with 35 lives say, I want an exchange. But they don't know what that means, really. But they do know that they need some sort of technology and to help their lives be easier. And maybe they've adopted some automated payroll systems. They've adopted some other automation processes in their hiring and employee management. And you're right, they are starting to embrace more and more and now are demanding, I think, of their broker to say, hey, where are you in this piece? I don't want to go to some other platform where I don't have you, my trusted advisor, but let's, you know, where's your technology?
Yeah, when you look at the brokers, and you know, you are one, and but when you look at the many brokers out there that you talk to and others that we want to embrace and talk to in this webinar, what do you consider to be the biggest missed opportunity by brokers right now in the business space, and what are they just not exploiting enough of?
Well, you know, I think what they're not exploiting enough of is the multi-products that can be offered. Some of the best brokers are still lazy. As a former manager of managing independent field reps, you found that people said, yep, I got the sale. And you said, where's your dental? Where's your vision? Where's your LTD, your STD, your worksite? Having a system that makes it easy for them makes it excuse-free. And you have to, as a broker, be embracing and expanding your fence, frankly, around your client to be offering all those products to keep your lights on. Who knows what's going to happen with medical commissions? Look what you all were just talking about, the volatility in the individual markets, United Healthcare pulling out. Yep. What happens tomorrow with small group? We don't know. So you have to use this as an opportunity to exploit and add more lines and be that trusted advisor for everything to your client, or they're going to go elsewhere.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. And I think, again, coming back to the employer perspective, the employers, as they move to more consumerism programs, you know, an HSA high deductible and well-rounded program, they're actually driving demand for a more well-rounded, you know, benefit portfolio. So I think that there's a client driver here too that brokers need to understand. And if they don't serve that, clients are going to go, you know, somewhere else. And I think that the income opportunity, to your point, with exchanges is a very real. I mean, the opportunity to have in one marketplace all of these different, you know, solutions for your client and their employees, you know, to choose from can really enhance, you know, that broker's practice.
Yep, and like that word that you use, solution. These employers have their hands tied with increasing premiums, increasing out-of-pocket maxes, increasing deductibles, where they're forced to, as you said, come together with some sort of strategy, whether it's an HSA or an HRA. But oftentimes the employee who's at the pharmacy or at the emergency room with their kid is stuck paying a lot of that bill now. And so for the broker to say, hey, listen, we can come up with a package and a solution that helps you as the employer not be sticking it to your employee with some of those work sites and with some of the flex spending options to make it really that solution.
Megan, give our audience, give our listeners really three quick takeaways that brokers should anticipate from, you know, coming and joining us in this webinar on May 3rd.
Sure, and I hope they do, because it really will be a great session. I think, again, having that conversation will enable brokers to be able to walk away from the webinar with really a better understanding of the different ways that you can use marketplaces to exploit that digital business, as, you know, as we've discussed. So really including a plan of attack, what kind of communication you need to be rolling out, not only with your brokers and your field force, but also with that end user client, and how do the clients get their employees to be engaged. And then really it's obviously the training, because the platform could be have all these bells and whistles and be the greatest thing, but if there's not training on how brokers can use it and embrace it, then, you know, you're kind of at a dead end.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Megan. And to our audience out there, our listeners, this is a free webinar. I want to remind you of that. You can register at our website, theihcc.com. It is May 3rd at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. You know, we hope you do join us. I think you'll find some really valuable takeaways to Megan's point in this discussion today. So, again, go to the IHCC website. You know, click on the front page on the webinar link and go and register today, and we hope to see you there. Megan, thank you for spending the time with us today. It's a great discussion, and we'll talk to you the first of the week.
Great. Thanks for including us.
Thank you. And to our audience out there, thanks for joining us today. Again, a final reminder on Early Bird for IHCC, or IHC Forum and Expo coming up. Go to theihccforum.com. You have a great weekend, and we'll see you next Friday on Healthcare Consumerism Radio.
All right.